Hello, I'm Montabeth, and back with another episode of Once a Warrior with one of the toughest men to have ever worn the jumper in what is this year our 30th season, Jazz Tavanga. Thanks for joining me, brother. How are you?
Hey, also. Good, good. How are you?
I am good. Now, one of the toughest and most competitive I've ever seen wear the jumper. Now, it's a question I'm going to throw out to you, and it's always hard to answer because I know you're humble. Why do you think that's the case?
I don't like to receive those compliments, but you know, just growing up from where I'm from, Kura, and I think my upbringing with my old man, I was always the little one out of my mates, and so I had to bring something. And you know, there was the saying, it's not the size of the dog, it's the size of the fight in the dog. So that's something I try and live by.
I love that, bro. And you got plenty of fight in you. But I'm just going to say you played for the Burnham Chevaliers and the Papakura Sea Eagles. Now, I'm sure you learned plenty from those clubs, but also where those clubs are situated gives it away to what your old man was and how he brought you up. Talk to me about that, man.
Yeah, old man is former SAS.
Oosh!
So you can sort of see where why I'm probably as tapped as I am. And yeah, got a lot of stories from the old boy, how he used to train me. And the old man used to wake me up and make me run to the pools, and he would make me swim 20 laps, he'll do 40, and then we'll run home. And I just remember some days I wouldn't want to run and I'd be crying, and then he'll be running in front of me going, hurry the up. And then that was used to be my school routine. Used to do that most days when he was here. And I just remember right from a young age watching my old man play for he played for Linton, he played Barakat for the Manawatu Falcons.
Oosh.
And when he used to travel away with his suit and that, I used to think, wow, this guy's the man. I want to be like my dad. And so right from a young age, I wanted to play footy. And yeah, the way he drove me, there was times I wanted a break. There's probably times I ran and cried to my mum, but I wouldn't change a thing because that's helped me mould the way I am. Dad always just told me is don't be a B-word. So, and that sort of stuck with me to this day. And you know, I always just wanted to make him proud. And when times got tough, that's still something to this day that I always say to myself is, don't be a B.
Well, 119 games, mate, there is plenty of highlights in what is already a great career.
Picked up and carried backwards by Jeff Tavanga. It's a solid hit from Tavanga. Tavanga, still going. Tackle Tavanga there.
Tavanga
keeps going. Tavanga to spin and go over under the crossbar.
Jazz Tavanga scores as spirited as any warrior there has ever been.
Jazz, when you see that you're in the jumper, you're winning with your brothers, what does it mean to you, man?
Yeah, it means everything, Monts. You know, growing up as a kid, watching the Warriors, growing to love the Warriors, just wanted this team to be successful. And you know, we've had a lot of tough years, more tough years than good years, but you know, it just makes you appreciate the good years more, especially coming off the 23 season. Like, I know I didn't have personally a good year, but just to see the club, the position the boys put themselves in, and just to see the movement around New Zealand, it was just crazy, and it was so pleasing to see.
So when did you know you were trialling for the Warriors? Who told you? And because your preparation wasn't probably the best, bro.
Yeah. So the open trial was on Facebook, and I remember the only reason why I went to school was to play school nationals, footy. And once I played nationals, I killed every game, got named in a tournament team, but no one had offered me a contract. And so I was thinking, oh, league's done. Like, I've got to go find a job. Or I was going to join the army and follow my dad's footsteps. And then, saw the open trial on Facebook, signed up, but I was like, it's wasting my time, like, not even going to get picked here. And I remember my mate, he's a good mate of ours, was our coach at one point. He called us and said, that trial's not tomorrow. Make sure you don't get on the piss. I know what he's like. And so me and James Bell, another crew boy, we're like, yeah, we won't. But then we had that look like, yeah, we'll. So we went and got on the piss. Wake up Sunday to him, our mate, coming into the garage, like, I'm told you boys not to get on the piss. And look at you, you're bloody wasted. So we were hungover. He took us to the bakery, we grabbed the pie, and we went and trialled. We were on opposite
teams. You and James?
Me and James. And it was always real competitive, us growing up. Like, we were always battled for the 13 jersey. Mm. And he always used to get over me. So when we were playing against each other, I was like, nah, I'm going to smash this dude.
Are you sure he wasn't feeding you drinks and he wasn't drinking?
Probably. Hey, just over here, drink more. Nah, probably. But, yeah, it was just we were always competitive. And we were playing on opposite teams. We were both locks. And we were just going at it. And then Stace said to us after the trial, I was like, boys, would you like to come and do pre-season with us?
What's it like getting coached by a legend, someone that you've seen from afar, that's been pretty much an idol?
Yeah, it was crazy. Monsters, pretty surreal that, you know, the general was our coach. The insight and the knowledge that he has, you know, and even the way he treated us, it wasn't like any coach that I had before, because he has a lot more chiller approach. Like, he's real cruisy, Stace. Yeah, a year to remember, because we made the finals and we went right through from eighth. Yeah. And we won every game from there and won the GF.
What do you remember of that under-20s final?
I remember it being a stinking hot day in Sydney, and we blew out to a pretty good lead early. I think it was 34-6 at halftime. And then out of nowhere, they crawled their way back. I think the heat got to the boys, but there's a couple minutes left, they scored. And Jaden Nikarima had the chance to slot the goal from the sideline. And it was his birthday, the poor bloke. And he shanked it. And yeah. We kick off and they had one tackle and we won the game. So it's pretty dramatic, and I'm glad we held on. That was a crazy story. And I just remember my memory of Stace is me, him and James.
Yeah.
And he just grabs us and it's like, I'm really proud of you two boys. Mm. And I was just like, wow, I'll never forget this moment.
There's one thing, you know, being one of the best trainers in the younger squad, but then you go up with the big boys, some of the guys you've watched and admired for a long time, and then they're all around you. First impressions on that?
I just remember my first day training off grade. We had contact and we're doing 2v1s. And it was me and Ryan Hoffman. And we were tackling Siwa. So Siwa, you know what Siwa,
yeah, he's strong.
Strong. Cards the ball up and Hoffy does his best to, you know, hit him. And he's got the ball and he's telling me to get the legs. And he's like, get the legs. And he has this wide base and he kept pumping his legs. So I was holding onto one leg and I couldn't get the other one. And he's going, get the open legs. And I couldn't. And then Cappy goes, that's enough. And then he stops and he walks, turns around and he goes, F me. And I was going, I don't belong here. Like, the same for me. Yeah. And then I remember I was standing off a scrum and Shawnee was catching the ball and he looked at me, this is a post session, and he looked at me and he gave me this look and he said to me, are you sure? And I was like, what is he talking about? Yeah. And he goes, oh yeah. And then he caught the ball and he's just taking it in, giving me this right foot, and I've just fallen to my knees and he's just gone through and, like, you know, just jogged through to the try line, and I was going, this is not a good day for me.
Let's go to your debut match. You know, quite often when you want to debut, you want to debut in a position that you feel familiar, that you know, and then you want to just get a little bit of a taste.
Yeah.
But you got thrown in the deep end, man.
I was playing New South Wales Cup and we just finished our captain's run. And so I'm going to grab some balls to do some extra dummy half passing, which is what you do after training.
Especially when you pass like us.
When you pass like us, you have to. And Laurie Hale came over on the golf cart and was like, Jazz, Cappy wants to see you. He wants you to train first grade. And I was sort of gutted, because I knew I had a game the next day too, and I was like, I'm probably just holding the pad for
them. Yeah.
So I cruised over and he goes, but when you get on the field, he wants to see you. So the boys are huddled up on the main field and he's standing at the end and on the post. So I jog over to him and he goes, how you going, Jazz? And I said, yeah, good. And he's like, all right, you're gonna start tomorrow. And then I was like, I know, I'm starting Cup. And then he goes, you think I'll effing bring you all the way over here to tell you you're starting effing Cup? No, you're starting for us. And I was just, my stomach just dropped and I was like...
And this was Cappy,
Andrew McFadden. And I was going, what the F? And I was like, are you serious? And he goes, yes. He's like, hurry up, join the huddle. And I just hugged him and I was like, thank you. And I ran and the boys were sort of waiting for me. They knew that I was playing because Bully, or Isaac Luke, had been ruled out with a calf tear. So I've joined the boys and they're all cheering, helping me up, and I'm just so nervous. So we do captain's run and every pass, I swear, this was to the ankles. Like my first pass was to Hoffy and he's like dropped it and I'm going, my hands are shaking. And they just told me, just calm down. You're but I couldn't.
Relaxed.
I couldn't. The first person I told was James Bell because he was playing cup with me and he was in the changing rooms because he was my ride home. And he was waiting for me. And then as I ran in, I was like, gee, I'm playing great.
Yeah, and he's like,
no. Well, we were just both buzzing up. And then when I went home, I told my mum and my dad was away in Afghanistan. So he wasn't there to watch. But I told my mum and mum was crying and all the family was so happy. I just remember that night, I couldn't eat. I was nervous. I was like in bed sweating, like thinking about Jesse Bromwich running over me.
But also thinking about having to get that pass across.
Yeah, and that's too. Another thing.
59 minutes is a long stint for anyone in a debut, man.
Yeah. Hookers, to me, is probably one of the hardest positions. You know what it's like, months, like in the middle of the defence, you're working your ass off, and then having to follow, track the ball, and get those passes on the money and read the game. It's very, very tough job. And I just remember running out for my debut, just seeing the crowd. It was our first home game of the year.
Yeah.
Just running out and seeing the crowd. I just thought, I made it. And then looking across from me when we were kicking off was Cameron Smith.
Oof.
And I was going, that's the GOAT. Like,
and you're marking him.
Yeah, and I'm marking him. And then he just looked at me, just smiled, and I was like, this is it. Yeah. And then right away, the first tackle I made was on Bromwich. And that just got me in the game straight away. I just forgot about everyone and who they were. I was in the game. And I think I just ran off on adrenaline because I wasn't getting tired for some reason. And then I come off after my first stint, and Nate Roach, one of my best mates, he goes on to interchange me. But then he only lasts a couple of minutes because he picks up an ankle injury. And then they chuck me back out there, and I'm buggered now. And then I cop a HIA, I cop a few whacks, cop a HIA, come off, go back on, and they just keep running at me for some reason. And I could hear them too, like, there's Jazz, get at him. And I was going, oh no. And then I just remember having Hoffy in my ear, just chirping at me like, they're gonna keep coming at you. He's like, grit your teeth, keep going. And that sort of pushed me. That's when the don't be a bee came into my head.
Especially when you're in the middle and you go, I did not think it was gonna be this fast. I did not think it was gonna be that quick. You're getting spoken to by your insides, by your outsides, and often sworn at to make sure that you're up to task. No doubt you've helped countless a number of people since then, man, but you would have appreciated that moment and what it was like.
Yep, 100%. And I think now the approach, you got to be a bit more careful, especially with poly boys. Like, no one really talks about this. It's the way you talk to poly boys. If you sort of like belittle them, like how we used to talk in the old days, they'll lose you straight away. And now you got to be careful. If it's a poly boy, I'll talk to him. I won't talk to him nicely, but I'll just watch my words.
Yeah.
And then with the Aussie boys, you can scream and yell at them as much as you want, and they won't take it personally. So, just got to watch what we say these days.
So you played 11 games that year. The next year, just the four. So you understand the demands of first grade. Mm. But 2018, mate, what was different that year?
When I first come to the league, I got introduced to, money, attention. So that first 2016-17, like especially that 17 year, I was just walking around like I had an ego, and it just showed on my footy I was playing crap. Just thought I was going to be in grade all the time now, and you sort of learn these ropes as you grow older. I think a lot of players go through it, and it wasn't until Mooks came on board and he gave me a hard reality check. He's like, if you stuff up one more time, like, you're gone. Yeah, it just sort of woke me up. I was like, damn, I don't want to lose this. Like, this is my dream job. I got a chance here to make something of myself. And that's when I started, like, knuckling down and, give it a red-hot crack. And I used to think, because I was training so hard, I could eat what I want, could drink what I want. But, that wasn't the case. And that was probably the first year where I took things seriously off-field. That was my breakout season for me. And, we had a really good year that year too.
What about the memorable games for you that year? Because, 20 of the absolute best, and you probably really felt like you belonged that year after 2018. What are the games that stick in your mind?
The Dragons game at home. I remember it just being a sellout. The Dragons game away, that was one of my biggest games. I think we lost a couple of medals early and I had to play a long stint, like 70 minutes or something. And I just remember tackling all day and running all day.
Daily M royalty, that is a huge accomplishment, mate. You know, it's one thing to be a heart of a team, but to get accolades like that. When you were told, what were your thoughts? Did you go to the night not even knowing and you just found out in the moment?
Yeah, so they said I was one of four chance, but on the list was Cameron Murray, Lee Sin Amau and James Seguiro.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, it's going to be one of them for sure. Yeah. And then they started calling out the woods and they called my name. And I was thinking, oh, I thought they just read the nominees out.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then so when they called Jazz Tavanga, I'm looking at the stage and everyone's looking at me, clapping. And I'm like, did they just call out my name? And you can see in the video, like, I'm like, with Bully behind me. I'm like, he goes, no, they didn't call your name. They called the nominees. And then the lady on the stage, I think it's Yvonne or something.
Yeah, she was
like, Jazz, you won, come up. And I was like, oh, shit. Went up. And then, obviously, I had fun. Funny enough, Roger found my Dally M trophy in the middle of the dance floor somewhere. Yeah. He was like leaving, walked out, seen it, picked it up, it had my name. It was like, bloody hell. So he carried it home for me. I remember after the awards, just looking back, it was like, I had a really good season that year. And you know, no one can take that away from me. Mm. That's something I can look back, you know, when I'm old and grey with my kids and, tell them about their dad. He was an all right footy player.
Yeah, he sure was. And there was another all right footy player there with you that night too, got the award, and that's Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. First time we had Dally M award winner. And then the impromptu haka, man. Whose idea was that? Who jumped in, who didn't? And how did that feel to tautoko one of the brothers?
Yeah, Bully just gave me the nod. If Roger wins it, this is what we're going to do. And I said, yeah, sweet. That's just something that, you know, Kiwis do to each other for celebrations or whatever. Mm. And there was no questions about it. And I was on stage when he started it, so I had to walk off the stage and then turn around and look at Rog. And then all the Kiwi boys started jumping in. Jordan Raps was in there, a couple other Kiwi boys from the other teams.
You know Roger quite well. He got a lot of advice from you last year when he was sort of thinking about whether he was going to play.
Yeah, Roger, he's one of a kind, and he's the hardest worker in the room. He'll be like the first to training, the last to leave. He is someone, you know, inspiring. I'm glad he's back home where all the young fellas can see and learn off him. That conversation that we had over lunch to try and get him back, I'm still waiting for my bonus from the club for that.
Your commission, man.
Yeah, far out. I'm glad he's home and it just looks so good out there and I can't wait to see the year he's going to have.
Okay, let's go first to 2023 and the build-up.
Yep.
You know, in your minds, what was the key parts of that build-up that, you know, started off that successful season?
The pre-season that I had was very interrupted. You know, I wasn't with the boys for a lot of that time, so I could only watch from afar, and I could see them working, you know, their butts off. But we didn't have much expectation because, you know, new team, new coach, didn't know what was going to happen. Mm. Webby kept saying, "Nah, we're gonna play finals this year. We're gonna play finals," and we're like, "Oh yeah, whatever." Every coach says that. But it wasn't till the first couple of games we could see how our system and the way we wanted to play was working. Those early rounds, I was playing some of the best footy that I'd ever played. Like,
absolutely,
getting guys like Adam Barnett, it allows me to just focus on my own role. I don't have to try and be someone I'm not. And in the past, we never had like an alpha forward. Like we had Tohu, he's a workhorse, but we don't have someone with that mongrel demeanor. And our team, our pack just used to get bullied, bro. Like, look at every team, they've got a bully in their team. Roosters got Jared, you know, Mount Storm had Nelson and Jesse. Our team would just get bullied. And so I try to portray that role in our pack. And I'll always be aggressive. But I'd get close to the line and sometimes I'd go over it and then I'd get 10 in the bin.
Yeah.
So I had to learn fast, but it took me a while. But now I can just sit behind Adam and Barney and just go, you just get them, I'll get them off these. And now it just allowed me to play my role yeah, I matured my game a lot. You know, I got a perception about me from people outside where I'm poor disciplined, areas in my game. But if, you know, you watch my game the last 2 years, I've just sort of matured my game and I just can just focus on my role.
Yourself and Walks are not just the first guys who have played with Baldies. There's a lot of guys who played before you with Baldies, but we never got the brothers tag because we never had the same sort of combination that you guys had, the leg speed through the middle, the ball playing ability. What is it about you two that you just hit it off because the Bald brothers was awesome to watch, man, and be hard to defend?
Yeah, well, we did just hit it off. We just clicked. It was weird how it happened. Two peas in a pod and, the combination that we got going is reflects our off-field relationship that we have. You know, we're pretty tight, me and Walks now. And, the Bald bros, we need to market that, I reckon.
Need to get a T-shirt, mate.
We sort of play similar, but we're different. Like, Walks is fast over he's more of a ball player, where I'm more of the workhorse. But when we come on together, it just gels.
Yeah,
and we get the best of both worlds, and I can back him up and he can back me up, and the 1-2 punch that we bring off the bench, I don't see any other bench that can handle us when we're getting that going.
Now I want to talk about the final series, but rather than talk about any particular moments, I'm going to go to you, Jazz Tavanga. The final series, the highs, the lows, over to you.
So the final series for me personally, I was just coming back from my injury and I played no footy. I was trying to do things that I would normally do, but my body wasn't letting me. It was weird. So it was disappointing final series for me and for the team. But, you know, we got the taste. We got to taste final footy. Some of our boys had never even tasted finals footy. You know, that was my second time playing finals. 2018 was my first time and we only played one game. But to go deep into the finals, to be a top four team, to get a life, to beat Newcastle at home, that was huge in itself. I just remember being on the bench looking over at Robbo, and because Robbo has, since he's bought the club, he's made a lot of big moves. Like, he's sacked coaches, players, and no one could see what he was trying to do until that moment. And I just remember looking at Robbo going, this is all because of you. You know, and then I was so happy for the boys. I was just so happy for the team and even for the country. I remember Sean come off early, and I know he did it on purpose. He did the jump off the sideline and do that big-ass walk. And I was like, bro, I know what you're doing. And the whole crowd, every time he walked past, were just cheering. And I was just like, nah, bro, you deserve it. You know, his career, I've followed closely, and I've ridden those waves with him, especially the last couple of years. And, like, he was away from his wife and his daughter. We were playing poorly. Like, I could just see how much pressure it had on him. Yeah, just to watch him sort of grow into the player he is now, and for him to be as successful as he was last year, which he should have been Dally M, I'm proud of the bro.
Oh, Jazz, we could talk all day, man, but once a warrior, always a warrior, bro. Thank you for being one of the absolute ultimate warriors in this jersey and club, and I thank you for your service.
Thank you, also. Thank you for having me.
I'm Monty Beatham. Thank you for choosing Once a Warrior. I'll see you next week for another episode right here on Sky.
Picked up and carried backwards by Jeff Tavanga. It's a solid hit from Tavanga. Tavanga, still going, Jazz Tavanga. That's a wonderful upload from Tavanga. Jazz Tavanga, your man, Steve Roach. What a stop. Great tackle, Tavanga there.
Tavanga
keeps going. Tavanga to spin and go over under the crossbar.
Jazz Tavanga scores, as spirited as any warrior there has ever been.